Life Audio.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Do you believe in life after addiction? You better believe it. Now, the host of Life After Addiction.
So this week, we're picking up where we left off last week. This is our part two of the interview with Jared Flash Gordon, the UFC fighter. Man, he is going to end this thing with really being transparent, opening up with how he's been feeling and how he's dealing with it after the two losses like we talked about in the first episode. If you haven't seen the first episode yet, press pause, go watch last week's episode, and then come back, man. You guys are in for a treat. God bless.
And I just look to God. You know, I prayed and, you know, I worked hard and a year later I got signed to UFC.
Wow.
I had one fight about 6 months later where I won a regional title for Cage Fury Fighting Championships.
Yep.
2 weeks later, I took a short notice fight. I won that. And then a year later, I fought on Dana White's Looking for a Fight show. And I fought Bill Algeo, who's also in the UFC now. I won the fight, and Dana signed me that night.
Wow.
And, you know, it's been about 6.5 years since then. And, you know, there's been a lot of ups and downs. But I've stayed sober, you know.
Yeah.
And I still do this as much as to the best of my ability. You know, now my problems are very first world and may sound petty to some, but they're still my problems.
Sure.
Like these last couple months have been very weird for me.
Yeah.
These last 2 weeks have been miserable. I've been miserable these last 2 weeks. You know, I prepared really well for Bobby.
Yeah.
Coming off this thing with Patty.
You look really good against Bobby, man. I think
fight that I won, that but I lost.
Yeah.
And then I'm beating Bobby and all of a sudden I'm like, I wake up and the fight's over. I'm like, what happened?
The flying headbutt. That's what.
You got headbutt. And I'm like, oh.
The flying headbutt.
And then I watched the replay and I'm like, you know, I had to go to the hospital. They wanted to take a CT scan. And, you know, I had scratched the cornea of my eye.
Oh, yeah.
Bad.
I saw that.
So I was in, you know, they were checking my eye out and. It was really annoying and frustrating. And it's like, you know, I do all these things for God. And then, like, it doesn't work out the way I want it to or the way I think it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, I'm a sore loser, man. I'm a sore loser. And for me, it feels like I lost both these fights. Meanwhile, the whole world is like, bro, you haven't lost. You're on a win streak.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I'm not. On paper, I'm not. You know, like, so we get these contracts from the UFC. They're normally 4-fight contracts. So after your third fight, you renegotiate to a higher pay scale and a new contract. So I should be, or I could be 3-0 on this contract, but now I'm 1-1-0-1. So, you know, not only did I not get my other paycheck for both fights, but now I don't know what's going to happen renegotiation-wise, where I could be renegotiating for a bigger contract. I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm like very, you know, there's so many things going through my mind, you know? And then I got a concussion from this fight with Bobby.
Yeah.
And, you know, I haven't had a concussion in like 4 or 5 years. And that's like something obviously you want to stay away from as a fighter.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, I've been, you know, I'm healthy. And then this happens and I'm like, you know, I got to take time off. I can't spar. I got to take it easy. So my days are slow and boring because I'm like, you know, I'm able to wrestle now. I wrestled for the first time yesterday since the fight. I've been training.
Good, good.
I've been doing, you know, cardio and lifting weights and stuff, but... You know, I want to get in there. I want to spar. I want to wrestle and grapple hard. And, you know, I want to get punched at and I want to punch my teammates. And, you know, I want to train, you know. But but I have to rest. And it's like, so I can't be in all the practices. And, you know, my schedule is super like flexible. I make my schedule. Besides like the schedule from the gym, it's like I do what I need to do when I want to do it. So since I can't be in all the practices, I'm kind of just going through my day. And then this is when all of the character defects come spilling out, you know?
Yeah.
I'm at pity party. Oh, I suck. God hates me. I do all this for him and his honor and for his kingdom. And he won't even let me win a fight. You know, and then I start getting very resentful and hateful.
Yeah.
And like, you know, my criminal mindset can come back very easily.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
You know, and I started thinking, man, I could be like selling crack and I would have all this money. But instead, I'm doing all this good work and I'm getting the crap end of the stick. So it's been very confusing, frustrating time for me.
Yeah.
And
it's been on a public stage too. It's not like you're just dealing. I mean, I get you. And I mean,
you know, and then like I'm watching my friends fighting these big fights. I'm watching other people surpass me, so to say. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting old. I feel like I'm getting older. You know, I'm 34. You know, I'm not the youngest guy in the UFC. I'm not the oldest, but I'm not the youngest. And it's like, when is it going to happen for me, you know? And like, man, I've been telling God like that this is all fake and this is all a lie. And this, you know, these are my feelings.
Sure.
You
know? Yeah. And you're vulnerable and you're open about your feelings.
I'm like, why have I been the good guy? I could be, you see these other guys, man, they're like Satanists, basically, like smoking pot on social media, drinking, you know, in the club, you know, beating women, being criminals, fighting in the street. You know, you got not to like knock them, because don't get me wrong, I've been in fights in the street also. Like,
yeah,
but like you see guys like Nate Diaz, he's like choking people unconscious in the street and getting all this praise, and it's like, bro. You're 38 or 39 and you're at the top, like you're the pinnacle of the fight world. And like, this is, you see, you know, and then you, like guys like Conor McGregor, like, and I'm like, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
Maybe I am doing it all wrong. Maybe I should like go that way instead. And, you know, thank God I have my wife and friends that are sober and they know the deal, and you know, they keep me on track, and I've been trying my hardest. You know, I'm going to meetings, speaking at meetings, and, you know, doing stuff like this, sharing my testimony. And, you know, it brings me back to where I'm supposed to be, and trying to have God centered in my life. And, you know, but it gets hard, obviously.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at right now. I'm just like, you know, 7.5 years sober, basically, and still going through my feelings.
And, yeah.
You know, just like.
Yeah, I think it's important, man, for our listeners to hear. Like, he just opened up and he's just real. That's all Jared knows how to be, is real. And you and I have spoke back and forth a little bit for the last couple months, man, and prayed with you and encouraged you. But I appreciate it. I mean, if he's going to put a mask on, then how are our listeners going to relate? Because I feel the same thing sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember going through things, and God, I'm a pastor.
Yeah.
And this, I'm serving you, and this is what I get. Yeah. This is what you do. Immediately, and I feel like your mindset, even back when that detox day was 5 foot of snow, I can't go anywhere, but you made yourself go to the reality too. You're like, man, I had some sweats on, I had a full belly of food. And so you're reminding these things. And I don't know, Jared, man, I just, only thing I can encourage you with is your reward is in heaven. You're not doing this, you're doing these things to bring God glory. And a lot of the people that you mentioned, well, we'll leave it at that. I think their reward is here. And man, everything you own on this planet will be in a yard sale or the wasteland at some point, right? Everything I own will be in the dump or in a yard sale at some point. But man, crowns in heaven that you lay at the feet of Christ. And I think I texted you about this too, man, just what you've been doing, the encouragement that you do, that you'll never know. You might not ever know any of it, right? I think you do know, because you probably had to hire someone to help you with your Instagram because of the people reaching out that are struggling. But yeah, man, I think you're in your prime, to be honest. I think 34, scientifically 32, 34 is probably, and fight game is probably the prime, because your head's matching up, catching up with your body. And then, you know, as it gets towards the mid to end of the 30s, you probably start declining. But man, after that fight I saw, I think you're in your prime, man. I think the enemy's coming at you to try to get you to quit. Because of the platform that you're using unapologetically, that's not normal in the sport that you see. I think there's a few guys. I think Dariush, I think, is pretty open about his faith and things like that, but he doesn't have your testimony. But man, yeah, stay encouraged. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. God says that all things work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't mean that all things are good. The stupidness of the last fight, that wasn't good, but it can work for the good, right? Yeah, man, and I appreciate you opening up. I think that's what's so cool about people. We have a saying that we feel God's given us, and it's, from the rooms of recovery comes the revival of a nation. And, man, this nation needs a revival for the things you mentioned. But the reason that I believe that is because I see in the Word of God, the heroes of our faith, God's clear to show us our junk. And I think people in recovery don't give a rip what people think anymore. He just was so vulnerable, open about, hey, here's where I'm at. Because he doesn't care about what people think anymore. He's been in the pit. He's been a secondary citizen, right? Yeah. I've been a secondary citizen. A lot of your story really relates, man. I mean, I know for him too, he's woke up in the hospital from an overdose. I remember a lot of your story really relates, man. I appreciate you opening it up.
Yeah, and you kind of answered some of the things I was going to ask as you were talking, but I was just thinking, like, since you found the Lord, thinking back on your career specifically, do you feel like the Lord has drawn you closer to him through your profession? And if so, like, in what ways and how so? Because just even hearing you talk, you may not realize it, but, like, I would imagine you're praying more, you're talking to him more, you're seeking his face more. And so those are all spiritual victories in the spiritual realm of things. You know, although it may not seem like they're victories because you don't win a fight, if it's drawing you closer to the Lord, praise God for that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's more downs than ups in my game.
Yeah.
So there, you know, I have no option but to rely on him and seek him. And, you know, the things that I've seen over the last 7.5 years, the tragedies, a lot of bad things have happened. In those times, you know, it has nothing to do with fighting, but in those times, we have to rely on him also. And my wife's a Christian, and she's gone through things, and together as a family or a couple, we have to seek him. And, but yeah, fighting has definitely shown me that I got to be faithful, you know, and that the good that I've done and the hard work that I put in will pay off. And, you know, God is directing and guiding me through it all. So, you know, and I found God because of AA, you know, that's how it was presented to me. Mm. So I know that if he could bring me back from that, you know, like we were just saying, like I was satisfied wearing a pair of sweatpants and just having a full belly of food. That's not something I have to worry about now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, how am I going to eat? Where am I going to sleep tonight? Like, so, but it's easy to forget those times.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, when I finally got some food in my belly that I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. Like, now I'm like, dude, when am I going to get $1 million in cash?
Yeah. Yeah. The bar keeps moving. You know, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, my standards have have gone up, and it sounds so ridiculous, but it's just what happens now, you know.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not I don't have liquid cash like that, but I do own a home. You know, this room that I'm in is my. I own this. Like, you know, I have a car. I have a dog that I can care for. You know, I'm married. You know, we have all the things that. We think we need all the nice stuff and the clothes and, you know, all the shiny, glittery stuff that you look at and think that you need or want. And then you realize when you get it, you're like, oh, like, it's like buying a new pair of sneakers for me. You know, I have a new pair of sneakers on and I'm like, yo, don't step on my sneakers. Yeah. You know? And then like 3 weeks later, I'm like, yeah, these sneakers suck.
Yeah.
I need a new pair of sneakers. We bought like a $2,000 like flat screen TV like a while back. And then I remember like sitting on the couch and I'm like, I hate this TV.
You've talked about that before, man. That exact example.
Because it didn't
yeah.
have the – it's like a smart TV. It has every app on it besides the ESPN Plus app.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm like, yo, I bought a $2,000 – it doesn't even – I spent all this money. I hate this TV. And I'm thinking, I got to go get a new one. And I'm like, wow, like, who am I? You know?
Yeah.
The thing is beautiful. It's a beautiful TV. It's amazing looking. Like, the picture can't get any nicer. But because the ESPN Plus app isn't on there, I'm like angry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, things have changed only for the better for me. You know, the things I complain about are superficial and, but like, that doesn't mean that it doesn't disturb my peace.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is really what we're all looking for is peace.
Yeah.
Like if I could be a person that was happy with the bare minimum, I would be, because then nothing else matters. I don't have to cry and whine over being the best fighter in the world. Like, my wife's like, do you realize like what you're aiming for? Like, yeah. You're mad that you're not like the number one guy in the world. Some people will never, ever come close to where you're at.
Most like, people will never come close.
You're like 0.0001% of the world.
That's right.
Or whatever, probably even less. So, but I'm like, I know, but this is what I want. Like, this is where I'm at. So it's really hard. The hardest thing for me is staying grateful for what I've already been blessed with by God.
Yeah.
You know, and that, if you're grateful, then you have peace. But if you're always wanting external things that won't make you fulfilled anyways.
Yeah.
Then you'll never be happy. So...
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
I have to remember. I'm sorry.
I thought it was interesting. I don't know if it was on Errol Hawani or a press conference for the Bobby Green fight, but you had talked about, and one of the things that God's given you too is the platform that you have, and you were talking about either on Ariel or a presser, someone asked you a question maybe, and you were like, you know what? Now that I think about it, and maybe your answer's changed, but if you would have beat Patty officially, you did beat Patty. If the judges would have said you would have beat Patty, man, you said something like, I don't think I would have had the platform that I had now, the followers, the Instagram, all of that. And we'll have all the links in this as well. I didn't mention him and his wife also did American Ninja Warrior recently, but that hadn't aired yet. But I saw him doing some of that. It's pretty cool. But you mentioned, was it terrible?
Well, hard. She did well, me not so much.
But
That's too funny.
But I mean, I just, that has, you were processing that. You're like, you know what? Okay, I could see what God's doing there. And I mean, I just, I think it's cool that you're saying things and you're processing these things and you're using it and you're using the platform. So, yeah, man. And that was just end of last year?
The Patty fight?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was December.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I saw, you know, now that time has passed by, like, I could see the silver lining in the Patty fight. Like,
yeah.
You know, if I won that fight, they would have switched the narrative somehow. You beat Patty, he sucks. Or
my foot. That's what it would have been.
It was a boring fight. You know, that's how they. I mean, look at Bilal's fight. Oh, Gilbert injured his shoulder, which he did.
Yeah.
But Bilal went in there injured also, hurt his ankle. But now they're saying, like, oh, he would never would have won that fight if Gilbert didn't hurt his shoulder.
Right.
So it's like the narrative always gets switched one way or the other. Yeah. So, like, for the Patty fight, I could see all the silver linings. For this Bobby fight, like, I haven't – it's only been, you know, two and a half weeks. So, yeah. I haven't seen the silver – I have yet to see the silver lining yet, and I'm sure it will just take some time to get there.
Yeah.
So I can see that. But, you know, that's like everything in my life. Something bad happens, I'm like, well, that didn't happen, and I wouldn't change this and this, and I wouldn't be where I'm at now. So it's always time, and that's another thing I have to always remind myself is that time heals wounds, and you know God will reveal more to you as life goes on. So I mean, and you know, I know that when I'm like 50 years old, I'm going to look back at all this and laugh.
Yeah, for sure. Just like you do at like high school drama nowadays, you look back at this age, it's like, man, what was I so upset about? Now here's one for you, Jared. Now imagine an eternity with God forever. Imagine 5,000 years looking back at our problems now and you're with God. How petty they seem in 5,000 years. Hmm. But I don't know, man. I told you I was so grateful for your time. I want to honor it. Do you have any last thoughts you want to say to the people listening? Any encouragement or any whatever?
Yeah. I mean, things can be really bad. You could be facing all different kinds of problems and hardships, but if you have faith and put the work in, you know, things will and can change. So but if you want to reach out to me, if you just want to talk, I'm always open for that. And you know, if you're struggling, maybe somehow we could help, but I'm always here. My DMs are always open, social media. So just hit me up, hit these gentlemen up, and maybe we can help you find a easier, softer way through life.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's not joking. Like, he's not the dude that just says, yeah, hit me up. I mean, he's the real deal. I love if here's my last thing. If you're struggling watching this and you're like, you really related to his story as I did, just because, man, I could feel it takes you back, man.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I love and I've found to also be true is the word of God says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. And man, every time I do that and I remind myself, that's right. And I turn to God for that rest, for that peace. Man, it reminds me. I'm humbled. I'm reminded that this stuff is like high school 20 years or 30 years ago, whatever it was. I'm not that old. I guess 20 years ago. But yeah, man. So here it is. You ready? From overdoses, from the terrible experiences, the evil things that happened to him, to in jail, to in the detox, to now being in the greatest fight, one of the greatest fighters on the planet. Mm-hmm. That's life after addiction, baby, and you better believe it.
Let's go. Come on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Life After Addiction. Life After Addiction is a production of S2L Studio. For more Christ-centered addiction recovery resources, please visit S2L.net. That's S, the number 2, L.net. For more information about S2L's licensed and accredited residential program, please visit S2LRecovery.org. That's S, the number 2, L.recovery.org.
We want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on the Life After Addiction podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of their faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and much more. Thank you so much for listening today, and God bless.
I'm Billy Yancey, entrepreneur, fitness cowboy, father, retired Navy cornerback, and now podcast host. Listen to my new show, Billy and the Goat, on Life Audio. Happy listening.